Our first reading this morning is from Ezekiel chapter 36, 26 through 27. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. The second reading is Matthew 22, 34 through 40. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all of your soul and all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments.
Dorothy, Toto, and their new friend, the Scarecrow, are off to see the Wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz. With a song on their lips and a skip of their feet, they make their way down the yellow brick road, headed towards Emerald City. As they're picking up apples in an orchard, Dorothy's hand closes in on what appears to be a foot. Tap, 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 she raps on the tin, looks up and realizes it's not just a foot. Why, it's a man! A man made out of tin, she exclaims. What? The Scarecrow seems surprised. I mean, he's a walking, talking bag of hay, but yet he's surprised about a man made of tin. Go figure. Muffled words. Oil can. Baffled, Dorothy asks, did you say something? Oil can. He said oil can. The Scarecrow questions, oil can what? Okay, so we already know he's a little bit slow. Oil can, oh, never mind. She picks up the can. Where do you want to be oiled? Urgently, he answers, my mouth. Scarecrow, now the interpreter, he said his mouth. Dorothy oils his mouth, and suddenly this tin man can talk. Joint after joint, lubed and refreshed, he begins to share his story of chopping wood over a year ago when it began to rain, rusting him solid and leaving him statuesque in the woods, just waiting for them to find him. Well, you're perfect now, Dorothy affirms after the two have oiled every joint. Perfect. Big on my chest if you think I'm perfect. Go ahead. Dorothy raps on his chest. The Scarecrow exclaims, beautiful. What an echo. It's empty. He looks around, then lowers his voice. The tinsmith forgot to give me a heart. No heart? Dorothy and Scarecrow exclaim together. No heart, all hollow. When a man's an empty kettle, he should be on his mettle, and yet I'm torn apart. Do, 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 do. Just because I'm presuming that I could be a human if I only had a heart. I'd be tender, I'd be gentle, and awful sentimental regarding love and art. I'd be friends with the sparrows and the boy that shoots the arrows if I only had a heart. Dorothy, having already invited the Scarecrow along on her mission, thinks, what's one more? Well, why couldn't you come with us to the Emerald City to ask the wizard for a heart? Now, since he'd already been tied up for the last year or so, frozen in this place, he didn't really have any other prior engagements. So Dorothy, her dog Toto, the Scarecrow, and the Tin Man move on down the road. When I think of the Heartless, I don't really think of the Tin Man. After all, he demonstrates a lot of heart. He's sweet and gentle right from the start. He bats those big eyes, pining and crooning with such sincerity. The man's full of emotion, and he shows it throughout the entirety of the film. Now, I might stereotype a little bit here, but I do have a bit of gaydar. Despite the fact that, contrary to many people's pre-Marquise beliefs, I'm not actually a lesbian, but the Tin Man here displays that genteel feminine side that we see reflected in so many gay men. Now, I don't know if the Tin Man is gay, but if anyone were, I think this friend of Dorothy might be. Now, this is really just an aside, but haven't you always wondered about that phrase, friend of Dorothy? Haven't you? It's been code for gay men since World War II. It was used to identify one another, since obviously being gay was taboo. It was even illegal. It later became popularized when cruise ships started using its euphemism as to announce gatherings and activities aboard the cruise. So I always kind of wondered, who were these friends of Dorothy that were gay? So I don't have any real confirmation, but I've landed on the Tin Man, because that guy is just so sweet, don't you think? I like that an open, welcoming, and affirming church doing a series on the Wizard of Oz gives us just one more opportunity to affirm any friends of Dorothy in our midst and outside of our church so that they, / you, will know that you are loved. In fact, that's what the wizard decides is the most important thing. Not so much to love as to be loved. A heart, says the wizard, is not judged by how much you love, but by how much you are loved by others. I don't know about that. His point obviously was that the Tin Man was loved. In just a short amount of time, he was deeply loved by Dorothy and his other traveling companions. But I think there's more than just being loved that makes a heart. Personally, I think that all of us do have this deep aching to be loved. But we also have a great responsibility to love. The reality is it's hard to do both, to give and receive love. That's where the wizard really touched the heart of the matter when he callously declared, "As for you, my galvanized friend, you want a heart? You don't know how lucky you are not to have one. Hearts will never be practical until they can be made unbreakable." Now, the wizard isn't exactly the most sensitive of men. He probably could have used a little more heart himself, or at least a little tact. But he's right, because any of us who have ever had our hearts broken know that very real desire to steal our hearts, to keep them safe by locking them away, to harden them so they can't possibly be broken. We want to galvanize ourselves, to avoid the pain that comes when we allow ourselves to be vulnerable, when we show and share our hearts, because inevitably, our hearts do break. There's no way to protect against it. The very act, or even art, of loving means that we will be vulnerable. And by opening our hearts, we will be affected, wounded even. They will break, because life is hard. And so is love. In opening those hearts, they are bound to hurt, whether it's because a relationship failed, or a loved one died, or we felt betrayed, or love just wasn't reciprocated the way we wanted it to be. Hearts will never be practical until they can be made to be unbreakable, he says. Well, Mr. Wizard, I counter you. As much as I would love to have an unbreakable heart, I don't think that's the nature of hearts. That's not how they work. A heart wouldn't be a heart if it couldn't break. I actually think that might be the purpose of a heart, not simply to be loved, but to love, especially because of the risk that we will not be loved back, that we might get hurt. Because having a heart means admitting that we are vulnerable, and yet we choose to love anyway. This is our Christian call, to love. As St. Francis prays, he contradicts the wizard here, grant that I might not so much seek to be loved as to love. It's at the heart, if you will, of Jesus' ministry. The Jewish Shema, as we mentioned last week, is fortified by Jesus' addition that we read here this morning in Matthew. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. It's all about love. Christianity is about having a heart, tapping into God's heart and sharing it with the world, starting first with ourselves, then our neighbors, who are, of course, our sisters and our brothers. It means being vulnerable, risking betrayal or not being loved and returned. It means reaching beyond our comfort zones, crossing boundaries and borders, the way Jesus demonstrated in his illustrative story about the Good Samaritan who lived out this law of love as a model for how we are to be in this world. If our hearts break, it means we've chosen love. The Tin Man says it's best, just as he's preparing to say goodbye to Dorothy. Now I know I have a heart, because it's breaking. Surely our hearts know what it's like to break. They have been breaking little by little, week after week. With all that is wrong with the world, our hearts bleed a little more every day. But thank God that they do. Imagine if we were so calloused as to not care, to not be disturbed, to not feel the pain of this world when it is inflicted upon our brothers and our sisters. I think that we have hearts that break because our hearts reflect God's heart breaking alongside ours. And we're called to act on that pain, to be fueled by love in order to change the very thing that is inflicting the pain in the first place. Having a heart is what Christianity is all about. It's not about rules. Jesus makes that clear in this passage. The Pharisees and the Sadducees tried to trip him up because they were tied up with the rules. But Jesus could care less about that. Unless the laws served these two commandments, love your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. The rest of it, well, it was all well and good. He could take it or leave it. But as long as you used your heart to love one another and make the world a better place, to usher in the kingdom of God, that was the most important thing for Jesus, and thus the most important thing for Christians today. The Tin Man's search is our search for a heart, to have a heart, to live with an open heart, despite the risk of getting hurt or our hearts breaking, or the very reality that it's not even a risk, that our hearts will inevitably break, probably on a daily basis. That's how we know they're working. Despite all of that, we love anyway. Remove our hearts of stone. Give us a heart of flesh. Vulnerable, beating, bleeding, open to the wounds of this world, breakable, yes, but not capable of being fully destroyed, because our hearts are ultimately strengthened by a God who knows and loves us deeply. We Christians are called to be nothing more and nothing less than lovers. Lovers who love with the same radical inclusiveness that Jesus loved with when he walked and talked and preached and taught, when he drew his circle wide and drew it wider still. Is it hard? Is it risky? Is it foolish? Yes, yes, maybe yes. The wizard doesn't fully get it. There's a whole lot of people out there who even call themselves Christians that don't fully get it. But the Tin Man does. Living with an open and a loving heart is our task. It is our call. It is our Christian duty. It is our only creed. All of the law hangs on it. Love. Amen.